The following audio is from Harvest Fellowship. For more information about Harvest Fellowship, visit harvestabq.org.
We're in a series right now called Make It Last. And it really comes out of a verse that is our theme verse for 2019. I'm actually going to have you help me say this verse here in just a moment. But the idea of this series is that in our theme verse, it says that we have been appointed to bear fruit that will last. And so we've been trying to figure out over the last several weeks, how do we do this? How do we live a life? Because I think deep inside all of us, we have a desire that we want our lives to count. That at the end of our lives, however many years we have and whatever we get to do and whatever, you know, we get to be a part of, at the end of the day, we want to live a life that really matters. Would you agree with that? You want to live a life that matters? So we've been trying to figure that out. We're in this series called Make It Last. So let's start with our theme verse. I'll put it on the screen and I'm going to have you, if you will, we're going to say it out loud together. John chapter 15, verse 16. Are you ready to do that? Yes, you did not seem ready. Are you ready to do this? Okay. On the count of three, we're going to say this verse together. One, two, three. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. That was fantastic. I just got to tell you guys, all right? You did way better than the 9 o'clock service, all right? That was awesome. Make it last. This is really a series on the concept of stewardship. So the definition that we're using for stewardship is simply this. It's managing God's blessings, God's way for God's glory. Just notice that in that definition, we're not really, it's not my stuff. It's not my blessings. It's not my way. Sometimes we try to manage God's blessings my way. It's about God's blessings, God's way, all for His glory. And so he started talking about stewardship. We spent 2 weeks talking about how to steward our time, which I don't know if that was convicting to you, but it was convicting to me. I've been trying to really pay attention. Am I stewarding my time wisely? Am I being a good, you know, manager of the time that God has allowed me to have? But today we're going to talk about stewarding our talents. And Rachel really set me up for this. She didn't even know, but she set me up because in Matthew chapter 25, we started with this parable that Jesus tells, and it starts like this. He's telling a story. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country. He called his servants and he delivered his goods to them. So this is the part of stewardship that nothing belongs to us, right? His goods he entrusts to his servants. And it says this, to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Now, we've already studied this entire passage, so we're not going to go all the way back through it, but this passage really helps us to understand how to be good stewards, and we've already talked about this, but this story particularly is about money because the talent was a form of currency. It represented 10,000 denarii, which was a lifetime's worth of wages. But so it was about money. But the Greek word for talent is also the word that we get, where we get our word talent. And so, you know, if we're asking the question, you know, is this story about money? Yes. Is it about our resources? Yes. Is it about our time? Yes. Is it about our actual talents, our abilities, and our giftings? The answer is still yes. It's really about being a steward of anything that God entrusts us with, just being a good steward. So today, we're going to talk specifically about the implications of stewarding the abilities that God has given us. And here's the foundational principle. If you don't get anything else, here's the foundational principle. I want you to know today that you were created on purpose for a purpose, and you are called to live your life with purpose. Did you catch the key word in that. I said it a few times, hoping you would get it, right? You were created on purpose for a purpose. And I'm gonna help you today to know how to live a life with purpose. Now, some of you may not believe this, so let me show you in scripture. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says this: "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Can I just tell you today, you are the handiwork of God. You know, one version says this, it says, "We are God's masterpiece." Isn't that a great word? You are the masterpiece of God. Here's what that means. He painstakingly chose every detail of your life. You know what I've noticed is if I ask someone, if I say, "Hey, you know, what? Tell me the things you like about yourself," people oftentimes kind of struggle. But if I ask, you know, "Hey, tell me the things you don't like about yourself," people pretty easily come up with a list. Like, "Well, my nose is crooked, and, you know, my third toe grows out a little long, and I don't like my laugh," you know, or whatever, right? It's pretty interesting. Can I just tell you, you're the masterpiece of God. Everything about you, everything. I mean, the way you look, the way you walk, the way you talk, the way you laugh, the way you process things, the gifts and the talents and the abilities. And I mean, everything about you was created on purpose. God doesn't create junk. Do you believe that? He painstakingly thought about the details of who you are. And then he gave you a purpose. And to support that purpose, he knew you would need some gifts or some abilities to achieve that purpose. So he gave you, to correspond with the purpose, he gave you some gifts that would go together so that you can now live a life with purpose. Can I just tell you, you are not meant to just exist in this life. You're not meant to just get through this life. You're not meant to just go through and check the boxes and clock in and clock out and get to the end of your life and go, "Well, you know, I did some stuff." You have a purpose. And listen, you need to live a life of purpose. That's how you will find true satisfaction. 1 Peter chapter 4 says this: "Each of you should use whatever gift you have, whatever gift you've been given, to do what? To serve others." Meaning your gifts are not all about you, right? They're not meant to bring you glory. They're meant to bring God glory while you use your gifts to serve others. So what I want to do today is we're going to go through Romans chapter 12, the first 8 verses, and I want to give you 5 really practical things to help us understand, how do I live this life of purpose? Maybe you don't know what your gifts are. Maybe you know your gifts, but you don't know how to use the gifts in the kingdom of God. I don't know where you are in that journey today, but I want to help you today to see that God created you on purpose for a purpose, and I want to help you to live with purpose. So the first thing is this. We're just going to give you 5 words today out of Romans chapter 12. The first one is this, is dedicate. It all begins when we dedicate our lives to Christ. This is the first and the most important step in the whole process. And maybe you're here today and you've never dedicated your life to Christ today. And I want to ask you to give it a try, right? I don't know what's keeping you from doing it. I don't know why you haven't done it. Maybe you had a bad experience at some point in your life with a church or a pastor or some Christians or whatever. But listen, your journey of living this purposeful life, it all starts when you dedicate your life. Those of you that have followed Christ for a while, I want you to think about the moment that you remember when everything changed for you. The moment when you made the decision to follow Christ. This morning, I was up early and I was just preparing my heart and I was reading through my notes and sitting by the fireplace, and I just began to reflect back on my moment that I can pinpoint. This is when I dedicated my life to Christ. I was 9 or 10 years old. I was at kids' church, at the church that I was growing up in. And it's going to sound funny when I tell you, but this was my moment. Is I'm in kids' church, and I don't remember specifically what my kids' pastor preached, but he used an illustration at the end of his message, and he talked about being a hot potato, all right? I don't know why or how it applies. I can't show you hot potatoes in the Bible, all right? Here's what I know is by the end of that message, I went to the front of that little kids' church area, and with tears streaming down my face, I had both hands in the air, and it sounds like a really funny prayer, but I was praying. I said, God, I want to be a hot potato. I don't know what your moment looked like. That was my moment. All I knew at 9 years old, I don't want to be a cold potato, right? And it just, for me, that was my moment. I'm like, I want to be a hot potato. And about 3 or 4 years later, I'm at a summer camp, and I remember being, I was down at the altar seeking the Lord, and I remember for the first time I heard the voice of God as I felt like He was calling me into pastoral ministry. And I remember that was another defining moment where I dedicated again. I said, all right, I'm going to live for You. But what I'm telling You now, God, is I'm going to do whatever You call me to do. I'm going to go where You call me to go, right? We see the example in Scripture. Jesus said this. He said, I go where the Father tells me to go, and I say what He tells me to say, right? Pretty easy example to follow, right? And I remember that. I was like 12 years old. And I said, God, I'm going to go where You tell me to go. I'm going to do what You tell me to do. I'm going to say what You tell me to say. That those were my defining moments. I'm telling you, living this purposeful life, stewarding our talents wisely, it all begins when we just say, you know what? I'm going to dedicate my life to whatever You have for me. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says it this way, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies, your lives, as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Now, if you look through the Scriptures, you see this idea of sacrifice quite often, but in the Scriptures, for there to be a sacrifice, something had to die. So they would get a dove or a pigeon or a calf or a lamb, and that they would sacrifice that animal and they put it on the altar. But now, Romans chapter 12 introduces this idea. It says, you are to be a living sacrifice. It's this idea. It's like the ultimate, dedication. I'm going to live for You. Every day is going to matter. Every decision, every day at work, every day at home, everything about my life is going to be dedicated to You. But the problem is that so many of us want to make our own decisions. We just want to live the life that we want to live and go where we want to go and do what we want to do. So I need to remind you today, you were created on purpose, with purpose, to live out that purpose. We don't, if you're following Christ, when you decide to follow Christ, you took away your own decision-making power. You no longer get to just wake up every day and go, well, I think I'll do this, and I think I'll do that, and I think I'll say this. Now it's a very different life. Now it's, God, where do You want me to go? Where do You want me to live? What do You want me to do? Where do You want me to work? What do You want me to say? Are you seeing this? That's the life of dedication, is I'm going to follow Your plan for my life. Did you know that God has a plan for you? A couple of weeks ago, Eden came home, our youngest, she came home from school. She's talking to my wife and I at the dinner table, and she said, I got to do this project. And she told us all about it, and she had an idea for the project. And so she said, I want to build a bench for this project. Normally her mom does a lot of the projects with her, but Lisa looked at me and said, that's your department, right? So Ian and I, we started, researching, like, how are we going to build this bench? And so I found online that you could buy this kit, and it came with put the two end pieces for a bench, and then all you had to do was go to, you know, Home Depot and buy the wood and the, you know, get this stuff, and then you just put it together. It's just pretty, you know, pretty easy. And so I said, hey, let's do this, Eden. So we ordered the parts, we bought the wood, you know, and the parts came in, and we took it home, and we opened up the box, and we pulled the two pieces out, and then there was a little bag of screws, and we pulled the bag of screws out, and then there was a piece of paper in there. It's called the instructions, and I pulled the instructions out, and I did what every red-blooded American man should do with those, and I crumpled them up, and I threw them away. I'm like, I don't need no instructions. It's a bench, you know? And lucky for us, it was pretty easy, all right? We put the bench together, and I made Eden sit on it first because she's lighter than me, and it held her. And then I tried it, and it held me. And this week, we'll take it to her school, and we're going to have everyone sign waivers and make sure that we don't get sued. No, I'm teasing. It's fine. It's going to be fine. You know, the idea is this. It's pretty easy, right? To put that bench together. Have you ever tried to put something together a little more complicated, like a piece of IKEA furniture? Oh my goodness. Engineered by the devil himself, that stuff. I'm like, what in the world, right? Or how about, do I have any Lego fans? Any Lego fans? I knew I'd have some Lego fans here today. I don't know, something about it. I knew I would have. In fact, I went and bought some Legos this week. It's been a long time since I've had any Legos. So I went and I bought some Legos because I thought this might help you to understand this concept of how do we know the plan that God has for our life? So it was dangerous for me to go to the Lego aisle. It like awakened something in me. And I'm like, where have these been my adult life? You know, why did I put them away as a kid? So I have this. This is the first one. I have this little cute little Olaf little Lego set. It's ages 6 and up, so most of you could probably do this. A little 122 piece. I mean, it's just not much, right? Here's the deal. I could probably get one of you to come up here. We could set up a table, you know, dump the parts out. I could take the instructions and just say, you know, I think you can figure it out. Look at the box, you know. And this one is simple enough that you probably, how many of you think you could get this without the instructions? Anyone? Anyway, some of you are still like, no. No way, right? So some of you could figure this out. So you Lego, you know, pros out there. But I got another one. Check this one out. This says my name all over it. This is a police chase. You got the bad guy. He's on his way out. You got the police in the car. You got the helicopter. The dude's rappelling out of the helicopter while they're driving down the road at 400 miles an hour, right? This is awesome, all right? Now listen, this one has more pieces. It's about 300 pieces, so it's about twice that one. You know, it's a little more complicated. How many of you would want the instructions if I had you put this one together, right? You'd want, right? Because it's a little more complicated, right? But I have one more, and some of you, you're just gonna freak out, okay? This is the best one ever. Check this one out. This is a 16-inch tall Yoda out of Legos. Isn't that awesome? I had some people in first service like, if you don't know what to do with that, I'll help you with that, right? This one has, how many pieces? 1,771 pieces. Can you imagine if I just dumped this out in front of you and said, I think you can figure it out, right? I mean, it'd be stressful. You'd create something, right? It might loosely resemble Yoda. You know, I doubt that we would get there without the instructions. And here's why I'm talking so much about the instructions is because the instructions reveal the intention of the Creator. If you don't know what God's plan for you is, God's purpose for you is, there's this thing that I'll call it the instruction manual. It's called the Bible. And if you'll go to the Bible and you'll read the Bible, what it will reveal is it will reveal the heart of the Creator for the created, that's you and I, and all of a sudden it begins to awaken some things in you. It's the instructions that help you to see the plan of God. And now that you know the plan of God, now you see how the pieces fit together. I don't know if this has happened to you, but I can tell you over and over and over and over and over in my life, I come to these moments where I have a realization of why certain things in my past happened, why certain things, you know, certain experiences. And it's like I was there and I learned this, and then I was there and I learned this, and I was here and I grew in this way, and I was here, and now it's all coming together. God, it's like, have you ever had this moment? It's like God really did have a plan. Have you ever had that moment? You're like, I didn't think he did, but now I see the pieces fitting together. I'm trying to help you today. It starts when we dedicate our lives to Christ. Because listen, you were created. Your creator has a plan for you. And the best way to discover that plan is to read the instruction manual. In other words, dedicate your life. Dedicate. God, whatever you want. Here's a second word, eliminate. Eliminate. We have to eliminate some competing distractions. I've heard it said that the key to concentration is elimination. I mean, don't we live in a world where there's just, it's like the answer seems to always be more, right? It's like just more and more and more. And I'm a teacher of the opposite, that often it's about less and less and less. It's about cutting out the stuff that's not as important. Romans chapter 12 again, now verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Would you agree that the world has a pattern? And the easiest thing to do is just to fit into the pattern, right? It's like, I mean, just look what all your other coworkers are doing and just get in on the pattern. Just go with the flow. Just do what everyone else is doing. But I want you to know today, there is another option. You don't have to fit into the pattern of this world. In fact, you are called to not live according to the pattern of this world, but to be transformed in our thinking, the renewing of our mind, which again goes back to the instruction manual. That's how our minds are renewed. And now we have the ability to live a different way. But that different way means we have to eliminate some things that everyone else around you might be doing. You're going to have to cut some things that seem like, here's the problem. Often the things that we're having to cut out, they seem good. We talked last week, as we talked about our time, we talked about the temptation of distraction. Because I think we're in a culture today that is busier than ever, that has more options than ever, right? I mean, it's astounding. And yet, so much of what's available to us is simply a distraction from what God ultimately is dreaming for us. So sometimes we have to eliminate. I remember about 6 years ago when Lisa and I came to Harvest, came to this church. We began to really try to figure out God. We knew God. He when He sent us here, He said, "Pastor Harvest, love your city and plant more churches." And so we got here, we're trying to figure out how do we love our community. And we're in an area called Taylor Ranch. If you don't know, that's this little, you know, suburb area, this little, you know, community. It's called Taylor Ranch. And we started trying to evaluate, you know, how are we doing at reaching our neighbors? And we found out we're not doing a good job. We didn't even know our neighbors, and we didn't know our schools, and we didn't know our businesses, and we didn't even have people from Taylor Ranch who were coming to the church. I mean, and I remember getting up one Sunday and saying, "Guys, if God wanted us to be somewhere else in the city, He would have put us in that other place, but He put us here. So God must have a plan in this community because He put a group of people in this community. And so we got to meet our neighbors. We got to help our neighbors. We got to frequent these parks and these businesses and these schools." How many of you are here when we had that talk? Did some of y'all remember that? A few of you were around. And I remember in that season, because then we had to, this is the hard part, we had to eliminate some things. We had to look at what are we doing and what should we not do? Remember last week we talked about sometimes you need a to not do list, right? What are we going to eliminate? And I remember this sweet couple came to me and they're like, Pastor, we just really want to help the homeless people in New Mexico, in Albuquerque, and it's getting cold. And I was thinking we could do a coat drive and we could get, you know, blankets and coats and sleeping bags, and then we'll take them and we'll go downtown and we'll pass them out, you know, to the homeless people. And then, I mean, just passionate and just giving me this dream about what they wanted to do. And I said, what do you think, Pastor? And they just knew I was going to be like, yes, we should do that. And I looked at them, I said, you know what? We're not going to do that. And they looked at me like shocked, like, you know, do you not love homeless people? You know, what's the deal? And I remember I said, no, here's the problem. We can't do everything right now. So we got to pick what we are going to do, which also includes what we're not going to do. I said, we're not going to go downtown and help people until we've gone across the street and we've helped people. So let's help people across the street, and then we'll go around the corner, and then we'll go across the river, and then we'll go beyond the mountains, right? And then you see, it was like, we got to start right here. And sometimes that process of elimination is difficult because would it have been okay to go take coats and blankets and sleeping bags to homeless people downtown? Absolutely. Would it have pleased the heart of God? Absolutely. Would it have helped some people? Absolutely. But I knew that we were being called to something and that we had to eliminate some good things that were not part of who we were in that moment so we could grow into the full purpose of God for our church. Is this making sense? See, oftentimes the things we have to eliminate, they're good. They're good things. They're not necessarily bad things. So what do you need to eliminate to live the purposes of God for your life? Here's the third word is evaluate. Evaluate. Do an honest inspection of your life. We're trying to figure out how to live with purpose, right? What do you have to work with, right? What are your gifts and abilities and skills? What is your passion? You know, what are you good at? What are the things that, I mean, just wake you up, you know, in the morning ready to pursue, right? What are those things that helps us? It gives us clues as to our design. Why? What did God create us for? And here's the two mistakes we often make is number one, we think we're better than we really are, right? When we start to evaluate our skills, we're like, oh man, I am the best, you know, X, Y, Z, fill in the blank. But others of you struggle on the other end of the spectrum and you don't think you're nearly as good as you need to be. I hear this one in the church all the time. Like, well, you know, I have this, you know, this skill, but you know, I mean, I'm not very good at it and I'm practicing and one day I'll use it for God's glory. And listen, both of those are lies that will get you in trouble. If you think you're too good or if you think you're not good enough, neither one of those are the right place for us. Romans chapter 12, verse 3 says this, "For the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you." Let me just pull two words out of this passage that helps us to understand in our evaluation of our gifts and our abilities and our passions and who we are. Here's the two words. I'll just put them together. That evaluation needs to happen with a sober faith. Sober faith. Sober means I'm in a right mind, right? I'm not thinking too highly. I'm not thinking too low, right? I'm in my right mind. I'm evaluating. I'm soberly, look at my life. Here's the things that God has given to me, right? But then the faith element is the God part. The faith element is, man, if this is my gift and I surrender it to God, what could it be? That's the faith part. And so we're evaluating our lives and we're looking at our gifts and our talents with this sober faith. But some of you're not convinced. And you're like, Pastor, you don't understand. I don't have gifts. I'm not good at anything. Can I just give you a scripture? James chapter 1, verse 17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above. Listen, your gifts, they actually don't depend on you. They're given by your heavenly Father. I promise you, you have a gift. You just may not know what that gift is yet, but that's what the church is for, is we help you to discover your gift. In fact, that's a thing we do. This thing is called Discover, and that's literally what it's for, is to help you to uncover who you are. You have a gift. And here's the thing. In most churches, we have some major categories of gifts, and if we're not careful, you feel like if you don't fit one of those major categories, then there's not a place for you. But I want you to hear me this morning. There absolutely is a place for you if you fit in one of the major categories or if you don't. I'll give you an example. Major category, worship team, right? If you play an instrument or you sing, yeah, that's an obvious one. Why? Because every Sunday they're up here, right? And they're leading worship. And so if you have that gift, right, that's a pretty easy one. And most churches will, you know, it's like, oh, you play? Yes, come on, let's put you in there. But what if your gift is something different, right? I was thinking about it this week, and I'll give you a couple of examples. We have a woman in the church. She's at part of our 9 o'clock service. Her name is Marlene. I came in this week and Marlene was here. And when I see Marlene during the week, I know why she's here, because she comes into the sanctuary. She cleans, she picks up, you know, trash, and she straightens the chairs. And if you look at that seat pack back pocket there in front of you, she's the one that she goes through. She puts all the cards in there. She puts the envelopes in there. She makes sure there's pins in there. And you know what I love about it? No one ever asked her to do this. To be honest, I don't even know how it ever started. One day she just showed up and started doing it, and now she does it. And she just comes and she straightens it out. And every couple of weeks she'll be like, Pastor, those seat pockets, they need some attention. I'll be here this week. And she'll come in. If we're out of pins or out of this or out of that, she'll tell me and we order them. And you see that? Like, that's not something that you're probably not sitting there today like, you know, I'm really gifted at putting pins in pockets, you know? What I'm trying to help you with is there your gift. You have a specific gift. I remember Wanda, I remember the first time that I came to the football life group. Any fans of the football life group? What a great life group. It's so much fun. I remember the first time I came and Wanda was there. Wanda was part of our Rio Rancho campus, and Jace had told me, she's like, there's this great couple that's coming. And he said, you'll know that it's Wanda because she's always crocheting something. Is that the right word? Crochet? Okay. I know there's different ones. I didn't want to offend you by using the wrong one. Okay, so I walk into the football life group, right? And they're like eating meat and watching football. And there's Wanda on the couch crocheting, you know, a little pink, you know, set of booties for a baby or whatever. And I'm just like, I love this. I love that she's comfortable enough in her gift that in the middle of football group, you know, everyone's banging their chest and cheering. She's just over there just doing her little. I'm like, that is awesome, right? Isn't that cool? Yeah. All right. I think it's cooler than you do. Your gift matters. Your gift matters. Don't believe the lie that you are worthless. You are created on purpose, with purpose. So you evaluate your life. You take stock of, what do I have to work with? And then number four, cooperate. Your gift is not meant to stand alone. It is actually designed to work in cooperation with other gifts. Romans chapter 12 again, verse 4 and 5 now. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have all the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to the others. Think about all of the gifts that are required to make what happens on a Sunday happen. How many of you on your way in today, the door was opened for you and there was a smiling face ready to greet you? Anyone? How many of you walked in past the smiling faces and you came in and you picked up a cup of coffee or a donut hole? Anyone? Right? That's some good stuff right there, right? Did you know that the coffee does not spontaneously combust every Sunday morning just before you get here? Did you know that? Did you know that it does not rain donut holes here, you know, on Saturday night and we sweep them up and put them, right? Did you know that actual people, like not fairies or elves, you know, or gnomes, actual real life people come in before you, some of you before you're even awake, and they're making the coffee and they're buying the donuts and they're cleaning the counters and they're getting it all out and they're unlocking doors and worship team is warming up. Did you realize that? Some of you didn't, because you show up and it's just ready for you. And you get to enjoy it, right? By the way, please enjoy it. You should. But here's what I suspect is you have a gift that could add to that. Think about it. We came in today and we began to worship and they're all up here and they're playing their instruments and they're doing their thing. But then there's some unsung heroes up in the media booth who are making sure that you know the words, you know, they're up on the screen so that you know what to sing, even if you're out of tune, right? At least you have the right words, right? And the videos are playing and the pictures are showing. How many of you dropped off your kids on the way in? Anyone dropped off your kids? By the way, thank God for kids workers, right? Kids pastors and nursery workers and preschool. I mean, man, those are my heroes right there, right? This morning, something funny happened right before Lisa left. My wife's the kids pastor. Right before she left, she got a text and one of her preschool workers got sick and was not able to make it. And so she was telling me about her being sick, but I was answering a previous question, and my answer to that question was, I'll take care of it. And what my girls heard was her say, the preschool worker's sick, and then they heard me say, I'll take care of it. And Ava looks at me and goes, Dad, you're going to take care of it? And I'm like, yeah. And she goes, you're going to be in preschool today? I'm like, no. What? I didn't see the overlap, right? Listen, you don't want me in preschool, okay? Right? Everyone needs to be in the gift, in the place where you were created for, and they all work together, right? But what I'm describing, that's just on a Sunday. Right? And then tomorrow morning, Karen will come in and use her gift of accounting and she'll get us all straightened out, right? And deposit and pay the bills and check, right? And then Tuesday, Mike Pittman will show up and he's got a team and they're committed to discipling young men through a ministry called Trail Life, and they'll do that, you know? And Saturday will come and Anthony will get here and some of you as well, and we'll open up our food pantry third Saturday of the month, and we'll be serving people right here in our community, making sure they've got groceries and helping them get by, right? I'm just trying to paint a picture, right? Because some of us, we only think in these categories, right, that are very visible. I want you to know that there is a place for you, that your gift matters. And listen, we need your gift because your gift makes what we're doing better. It adds to it. Here's the fifth one. This is the last one. Activate. Whatever gift you have, it needs to be activated, right? One of the saddest things in the church for me to see is someone who has a gift, but that gift is lying dormant. It's like, man, I see that gift, right? In fact, I teach our pastors and our leaders. I tell them, I say, one of our jobs is to see the gift that is inside of someone and to call it out, right? It's like, I see that in you, right? Why aren't you using that gift for the kingdom of God? Some of you, we've had those conversations. That's part of our role. What I'm trying to say in that moment is, why don't you activate the gift that we all know that you have? We see that in you. Romans chapter 12, verse 6 through 8. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Activate your gift. I'm going to play a sound clip in just a second, and I want to see how many of you recognize this sound clip, okay? So if you know it, it's short. It's 4 seconds. If you know this sound clip, you can just yell it out. Are y'all ready? All right, give us that sound clip. Mario. I'm talking old school, like this is when video games were really video games, right? These are for real. I think, okay, we have a video to show you. Some of you are like, I don't know what this is. Do y'all remember Mario? This was in the day, like when you got the Nintendo, you got Mario Brothers and Duck Hunt. It came with a gun and you remember the little dog when you'd miss and he'd laugh at you? Does anyone remember that? Those were good games. Okay, so Mario, do y'all remember Mario? You're running along, you know, and your little Mario, you'd always start as little Mario. Do y'all remember that? And you're running along, and there'd be a little block up there, and you'd jump up, and you'd hit your head on it, and it would release what? Mushroom, right? And you'd run over, and you'd grab that mushroom, and when you grab the mushroom, that's what happened, right? Oh, yeah, that was perfect. It's like we planned that. We totally planned that. We didn't, but we planned it, all right? Here's the deal. It's like, I was thinking about this week, activating our gifts. When Mario would grab that mushroom, right, it activated something in him. He didn't become a different person, right? It enlarged who he already was. He activated those gifts. And I'm trying to get you today to just say, you know what? I'm not going to stay little baby Mario anymore, right? I'm not going to just run around and I can't, you know, I'm going to beat defeated. I'm trying to say to you, there is more available to you today, but you're going to have to activate it. I can't do it for you. You're going to have to activate those gifts. You're going to activate it. I asked Pastor Jace if he would help me this morning because he's manly. And so he's going to bring a toolbox up here to help me with something. And then this is where we're gonna end. All right. So Jace brought a toolbox. Okay, and these are not trick questions. Okay, he's gonna give me a tool. Let's start with that one right there. All right. So how many of you know what tool this is? Just yell it out. It's a saw, right? It's a circular saw. It has power. Watch. Yeah, this is dangerous, right? I don't know why he gave me a power tool during service. But all right, so this is a saw, and it's not a trick question. A saw was designed to do what? To cut wood. It's a saw, right? To saw wood, right? You're like, okay, are you with me so far? All right, so this tool was created to cut wood. Give me another tool. Give me that other power tool. How many of you know what this is? It's a drill, right? Oh, wait. Yeah. This has a different function than that. Am I right? Would I be able to cut wood with this? No, right? There's probably a way. Some of you are like, no, I could totally do it. I totally could do it, right? Look, here's what happens in the church. And we got to stop this, okay? We got to stop this. Is someone over here that's a drill looks over there at the saw and goes, I can't believe they're a saw. If they would be more like the drills, I mean, are saws even godly, right? I mean, do they even love Jesus? I'm not even sure if they love Jesus. Like they should be more like the drills. And we get all the drills together, right? And we get all the drills and we talk about in other words, we look at a gift that's different than us and we talk about it because it's different than the gift that's been given to us. But can I tell you that God had a plan in how he created all of you differently? We need the saws and we need the drills, right? Give me that other one. That one right there. How many of you know what this is? A hammer, right? So watch this. These are two different tools, right? Two different purposes. These two are actually pretty similar purposes, but they're still very different. Men, be honest with me. How many of you have ever used this like this? Come on, tell the truth. You're in church. You're drilling, and then you realize you need a hammer. So what do? You turn it around. Like, oh, that's a good hammer right there, right? And so then you use that. Whoa, Jiminy Crickets. You use that. That's what happens. You use it as a hammer, right? And then what happens? You destroy the tool because it's being used in a way it was not created for. So then you got to go back to the store and you have to repair the tool because it was used and abused in a way it was not created for. it came and it said, this is my gift. And the church said, no, you're going to be in the nursery. You're going to be over here. We want you. And we're constantly trying to fit, you know, squares into circles. And I'm trying to tell you today that we're not going to do it that way. I need your gift. And if you're, here's the spiritual version there of Romans 12 was like, you know, if your gift is prophesying, then prophesy. If it's teach, then teach. If it's, right? Let me just tell you today, and maybe this will make more sense. If your gift is to saw, I want you to saw. If your gift is to drill, I want you to drill. If your gift is to hammer, I want you to hammer. Are you getting me? I'm not going to try to make the hammers drills and the saw. I want you to be exactly who God created you to be, because that's when you are the happiest. It's when you're the most successful. And guess what? It's when the church thrives and we're able to help even more people than we're helping now, because now we're all cooperating together. Are you seeing it?
Yes.
So if you're hospitable, I need you to hospitate, right? If your gift is kids, I need you to kid, right? If you're a crocheter, I need you to crochet, right? You know, last night we had a meeting with our life group leaders, and we just were celebrating and evaluating, and it was so much fun. And man, one of my favorite life groups this last semester was the cooking life group, all right? Anyone go to that? That was amazing. It was so amazing. And I remember, because, you know, Allison came to me and Kendra, and they were like, you know, we just had this idea. We could cook, and maybe some ladies would come, and we'd teach some recipes. But we pray with each other and we talk about. I'm like, yeah, y'all should do that. And I'm telling you, it was so successful. You know why? Because they weren't trying to be someone that they're not. They were embracing who God made them to be. And in doing so, did you know that lives were transformed this last semester through a cooking life group? Not just because of the food they were eating, which was delicious, by the way. I got to sample quite a bit of it. But because the Spirit of God was in the kitchen while they were doing this, and they were talking and holding each other accountable and praying and encouraging. That's what you were created for. Do you believe that? So there's two responses today. There's two responses. Thank you, Jace. There's two responses. The first one is practical. The second one is spiritual, okay? First one's practical. Here's what I'm going to ask you. If you're here today and you're like, you know what, Pastor? I'm not using my gift to advance the kingdom of God, but I'm ready, right? First step, remember the first step? Dedicate, right? I'm going to dedicate, right? I'm going to surrender my life to Christ. We've made it really easy for you today, because while you're dedicating to God, we need to know about it so we can come alongside of you and help you in that process. So here's what I'm asking you to do. You just get your phone out right now and you text the words, say yes, all together, no space. You just text say yes to 505-899-0594. It's really simple. You're going to get a text back and it's going to ask for your name, and then you're going to get a text back and it's going to invite you to our next Discover, which, if you want to put on your calendar, is two Sundays from now, the last Sunday of November at 5 p.m. right here at the church. You'll hear the vision of the church. You'll meet the ministry leaders. You'll get a chance to talk with them. We'll answer your questions. And part of it is we're going to talk to you and say, what are your giftings? We want to help to figure out how your part plays into what's already happening. How do you make it better? And so if you're ready to take that step today, you don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to say a prayer. You just text, say yes, and then we're going to help you with that, okay? Now, here's the spiritual part of it. We sang this song earlier. It's all about surrender. Stewardship's all about surrender. It's saying, Lord, my time's not mine. My money's not mine. My kids are not mine. And what I'm asking you to say today is, my talents are not mine. These abilities, these things that I'm good at and that you've made, I'll surrender them to you. And if you'll help me to find a place in the local church to live this out, I will be who you created me to be. That's the spiritual part. Would you stand with me this morning? Can we just pray a prayer of surrender? We sang it earlier, but if you're ready to just surrender your gifts, by the way, if you're a guest here and you're like, well, I'm ready to surrender my gifts. I just don't know if I'm ready to surrender them here. That's okay. I'm not asking you to surrender them. You don't sign a contract to Harvest, all right? Can we just surrender everything to the Lord again? We're doing this every week. We're just surrendering, surrendering, surrendering. All right, let me just lead you in a prayer. Father, I just thank you that this room is filled with gifted people, talented, amazing, wonderful people. And Lord, together today, we just surrender our gifts. We surrender our crocheting and our worshiping and our plumbing and our photography and our counseling and our teaching and our leading and whatever it is, all the stuff that we're good at, we just surrender to you right now. Lord, we're asking you, help us, Lord, to not squander the gifts that you've put inside of us. Help us to use these gifts to advance your kingdom. Help us to use these gifts to reach people who need the hope of the gospel. Use these gifts, Lord, to help to build your kingdom here in our community and across our city and literally around the world. Lord, we are asking you today to awaken gifts that have been lying dormant. Lord, right now, would you breathe fresh life into dormant gifts, gifts that we've put away for whatever reason. We've just packed them away. We've put them in a dark corner of our heart. Lord, will you awaken those gifts right now? God, awaken gifts that were put away because of hurt. Maybe it was used and abused at some point in our past. Lord, bring those gifts back out. We need to add those gifts to what you're doing here in our community, our city, because lives hang in the balance. Lord, I pray over my friends this morning. Lord, as we begin to exercise these gifts, that we would grow, that we would cooperate one with another, that we would steward these wisely so that you could be glorified. Lord, be glorified here at Harvest. Be glorified, Lord, in our homes. Be glorified, Lord, in Albuquerque. God, be glorified, Lord, here in our lives. May we live lives that matter as we surrender completely and wholly to you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Harvest, as you're leaving today, may the Lord bless you, keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, give you grace now and forever. Harvest, go be the church.
Thank you for listening to the Harvest Fellowship podcast. For more information, visit harvestabq.org.